Brother Pastor, I appreciate all these nice things that you've said about me today. I think he's done everything except give me a doctor's degree, I believe he is. People ask me all the time, Brother Scott, if I'm a doctor, and I tell them I'm not even an LPN. We thank God for men like Brother Scott. He was such a blessing to Park Avenue Baptist Church. And men and women of his type made the ministry there a joy for me. We saw some 3,200 people saved and baptized during our 35 years there. And I don't know of anything that was more exciting than to see people get saved and then to see them grow in the Lord. Oh, my. And I'm sure you experience that here in this fellowship, too. It is a wonderful thing to see what the Holy Spirit can do in the lives of people. Again, Brother Scott, thank you for inviting me to be here today. It's such a joy. I wonder if we might stand together, please, and if you would just listen to the Word of God for just a few minutes this morning. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye be evil, or be double, or divided, your whole body shall be full of darkness. And if the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore I say unto you, do not worry about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what you shall put on. Is not the life more important than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather unto barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit unto his stature? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like unto one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore I say unto you, do not worry, saying what we shall eat or what we shall drink or what we shall put on. For after all of these things do the pagans seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We have read our Lord's words found in the beautiful sixth chapter of Matthew this morning. Thank you. You may be seated. Some 50 years ago, the Lord laid upon my heart to have Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 as my life verse. I try to put that reference under all of my signatures. The only thing I don't do is when I sign bank checks, because I know the bank won't, they won't like to see Matthew 6:33 there. But it is a great verse. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. I'm afraid as Christians, not many of us take that as serious as we should. Jesus said that if you will put God and His kingdom first in your life, and if you will seek more and more every day the righteousness of God, that is to be like Christ, Jesus says God will meet all of our needs. Now, put that down. Not all of our wants, but all of our needs. There's one thing that the Bible teaches us all the way through, and that is this. God either has first place in our lives or He has no place in our lives. God is not going to be put on the back burner. If God is put on the back burner, He's not there. As Christians who have been born again, we have become new creations in Christ Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. We want God to be first, yes. We want to seek first the kingdom of God. We want to live like Jesus. We want to be like Jesus if we have His Holy Spirit living and working in us. We want to seek first the kingdom of God with our morals. Friends, you know this. The age that we live in today is a filthy age. It's filthy books, filthy magazines, filthy television, filthy movies, filthy internets. I had a man not long ago tell me he had gotten hooked on pornography through looking at the internet all the time. Filthy language. And constantly, as Christians, we need to ask the Lord, Lord, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, please give me a pure heart. Because it isn't what men think us to be that counts. It's what God knows us to be. Men only see the outward action, but God sees the inward heart. And that's the thing that's important for all of us, is to have a pure heart. Jesus said it like this. Whoo, this is pretty rough. Jesus said, in the eyes of God, if we look with lust at another person, as far as God is concerned, we have already committed adultery. That's a pretty strong statement. It really is. My grandfather used to say to my daddy, he'd say, son, I've been true to your mother all the days of our marriage. And he said, the way that I have done that, son, is that I never look at another woman. And my daddy knew what he was talking about. And you know what he was talking about. We're not to look with lust at other people. We're to keep a pure heart before God. And seeking God first will save us from an impure life. I think about Joseph in the Old Testament. You remember how Joseph down in Egypt, Potiphar's wife, Potiphar was one of the leaders of Egypt, and Potiphar's wife sort of fell in love with Joseph. She wanted to have an affair with him, and she tried to have an adulterous relationship with Joseph. Remember what Joseph said to Potiphar's wife? He said, look, he said, God is right here. He's looking at everything that we do. And do you think I'm going to commit adultery with you with God standing here looking at us? Mm. Friends, I don't know of anything that will keep us pure any more than just to realize that God doesn't go to sleep. He doesn't close His eyes. He's right there looking at us. And He's not only looking at what we do physically, He's looking at what we do mentally. And God wants us to be pure in heart. And by the way, the only person that can help us to do that is the Holy Spirit. We're not in the battle by ourselves. Oh, me. I hear people say all the time, "Brother Bob, I just can't live the Christian life." Well, join the crowd. I don't know of anybody who can. But when we have the Holy Spirit living in us, He can give us victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Seek God first morally. A good way to do that is to seek God first in the morning. Start off every day with at least 50 minutes of prayer and Bible study. Oh, what a blessing that is. I like to take a book in the Old Testament and a book in the New Testament and study both of them together, because it sort of gives me a balance of what the Old Testament teaches and what the New Testament teaches. I'm in the book of Psalms now in the Old Testament. I'm in the book of Mark in the New Testament. And I love to do that, to study those two books at the same time. And as we study the Bible, listen carefully, we need to ask God to apply the truth of the Bible to our lives. Because it doesn't do any good to read the Bible if we don't apply the truth of the Bible to our lives. I well remember some time ago I heard a pastor, I can't even think of his name right now, but he made such an impact upon me with a sermon that he preached. It's been several years ago. He said to us men, and he was speaking to a group of preachers, he said, "Men, we need to learn to pray through the Bible." I never had heard that. Pray through the Bible? But then he explained what he meant. When we come across a truth in the Bible that convicts us of our sin, right then and there, we need to stop and say, "God, please forgive me of that sin. Get that sin out of my life." If we're studying the Bible and we see there an attitude that we know we should not have, we're to stop right there and say, "God, forgive me. I don't have that kind of attitude you're talking about here. I want to have the kind of attitude that Christ has." If we're reading the Bible and we see there a verse that speaks of how good God is to us, we need to stop right then and there and praise God and say, "Thank you, God, for how good you are to me." If we read a verse in the Bible and it speaks of the burdens that some of our friends are carrying, right then and there we need to stop and say, "God, I want to bring my friend before your throne in prayer today." Pray through the Bible. Oh, what a thought that is. It has revolutionized my prayer life and my devotional life to pray through the Bible. Something else I enjoy doing, I have a list at home of about 225 people that I pray for regularly. And some of them are friends, some of them are families, some of them are pastors, some of them are churches. I have your pastor on that list and your church on that list. Also, I just enjoy thanking God for the people that have gone on that have influenced my life. I have about 75 of those on that list. Pastors that have influenced my life, Sunday school teachers that have influenced my life. It's just wonderful to look back and see the godly influence of other people and how their influence has impacted your life to help you to be the person God wants you to be. Another great thing in the morning devotion, I think, is to spend at least 15 minutes memorizing Scripture. Oh, my, what a blessing. I started memorizing the Bible when I was about 19, and I've memorized 1,664 verses of the Bible. And what a blessing it has been to memorize the Word of God. I've memorized the Sermon on the Mount. Whoo! You talk about something powerful is that Sermon on the Mount. Whoo! Revelation chapter 21, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Genesis chapters 1 through 3. The experience of our Lord before he went to the cross, John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. I tell you, you put the Bible in your heart. And young people, start when you're young. And I want to tell you, it'll transform your walk with the Lord. It really will. Seek first the kingdom of God with our morals, with our mornings, and then Jesus said with our money. Some people don't like to hear that. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and money at the same time, for one of the other is going to become your God. Money has a way of getting on the throne of our lives, doesn't it? Jesus said it like this. Whew, this is rough. Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. What was Christ saying there? He wasn't saying that all rich people are ungodly. No, he wasn't saying that. There are a lot of people in the Bible who were rich, who were godly people. And you and I all here today know people who are rich, who are godly. But I tell you what Christ was saying, that it's harder for a rich person to be godly than it is if they're not rich. Because money has a way of becoming our God. I think this is one reason why the Bible emphasizes tithing so much. Because tithing helps us to keep money in its rightful place. I started tithing when I was about, 12, 13 years of age, thanks to my mother and daddy. And, oh, what a blessing it's been over the years to give God one-tenth of everything that he gives to me. We give back to God. Somebody said, Brother Bob, I don't believe in tithing. That was under the Mosaic law, Brother Bob. Well, why do you think Abraham tithed? He wasn't under the Mosaic law. He lived 400 years before the law ever came into being. Why didn't Abraham tithe? I'll tell you why he tithed. Because he loved God. That's why he tithed. He wasn't under the law. He was under love. And I want to tell you, if you and I have been saved this morning, we're under that same law. We're under the law of love. And if we can, we need to give God more than a tithe. Some people need to do more than a tithe. I remember when I was growing up, some of you older here today remember R.G. Letourneau. He's one of the big businessmen in America. And he started out without hardly anything. Started out very poor, but he was a very wise businessman. And he kept making more and more money. And he was a dedicated Christian. He started giving God a tenth of his income. And then as his money increased, he started giving God 20%. And then he started giving God 30% of his income because he loved the Lord. And when R.G. Letourneau died, they discovered that he had been giving God 90% of all of his income after taxes. I have to put that in, dear old Uncle Sam. After taxes. We're to seek first the kingdom of God with our money. And each of us have to make up our minds as to what that means. But it does mean that God wants us to be generous with what we have and to use it for his glory. Seek first the kingdom of God. Mornings, morals, money, marriage. I remember as a teenager, my daddy used to say to me all the time, he'd say, son, the most important day in your life is when you walk down that aisle to the marriage altar and get married. He'd say, son, other than the day that you got saved, that's the most important day in your life. And you be sure, son, that when you walk to that marriage altar, that you're walking in God's will. Peggy and I have been married now, as Brother Scott said just a moment ago, 59 years. And before marriage, we went together 3 years. And here's a prayer that I prayed during those 3 years. Lord, if she's the one you want me to have as my wife, keep us together. If you don't want us to be together, Lord, break us up. And at the end of 3 years, when I walked to the marriage altar at Ridgedale Baptist Church in Chattanooga, I knew that we were in God's will. I want to tell you, our home today is under attack in America. It is under attack. When George Washington was president of the United States, you know how many marriages ended in divorce? 1 out of 200 marriages ended in divorce when Washington was president of this nation. You know how many marriages end in divorce today? You already know. 1 out of 2. 1 out of 2. I hear people talking all the time, well, Brother Bob, we got a lot of problems in this country today, and I'm looking to the White House to help us to solve these problems. Well, thank God for the White House. But the White House is not going to solve all these problems. Our big problems in America today are going to be served at our house. Our house. Godly marriages, godly homes could solve almost every problem this nation faces today. And in particular, we need more godly men to be the spiritual leaders of their homes. If you don't believe that's true, just study the Bible, brethren. God looks to a godly man to be the spiritual leader of his home and to love his wife as Christ loves the church. That's some love, isn't it? That is some love. I see so many women today who have to come to church by themselves, and they have to come with their children. Their husbands never darken the door of the church. I want to tell you, when those men stand before God, they're going to find out what they should have done, and they're going to regret for all eternity that they didn't do what they should have done. I thank God all the time for my parents. Oh, they were such godly people. My mother and daddy every day read the Bible with me. They prayed with me. They taught me to tithe. They took me to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Sunday morning and Wednesday night. I tell people I had a drug problem growing up. My mother and daddy drugged me to church on Sunday night. They drugged me to church on Sunday morning. They drugged me to church on Wednesday night. Oh, what a wonderful drug problem that was. I wish more of our children today had that drug problem. My daddy was a prominent businessman in Chattanooga, Tennessee, president of McKesson Robbins Wholesale Drug House, but Christ came first in his life, and that was true in the life of my mother. They were first in the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Be sure that our motives are right. That's important. The great goal of the Christian life is not to glorify ourselves, it's to glorify God. Brother Scott, we had a great Southern Baptist preacher years ago preached at Park Avenue. He is one of the most well-known preachers in the convention, and I met him at the airport and was taking him to his hotel where he's going to spend the night and going to preach for us in the following morning. And as we drove, we talked, and he said, Brother Mallory, he said, I'm one of the greatest preachers in the Southern Baptist Convention. I looked at him and, oh, I wanted so bad to say, well, you know, I used to think that too. Oh, my. has no place for ego in the Christian life. Ego stands for edging God out. E-G-O, edging God out. I had a funeral some time ago, and the family, of all things, they wanted to sing Frank Sinatra's old song, I Did It My Way, as a part of the funeral. And I was shocked. I told them, I said, friends, you're the ones preparing this funeral. I realize that. You just want me to speak. I realize that. But I just got to say one thing. When I die, no one is going to sing I Did It My Way at my funeral. Because I don't want it my way. I want it God's way. I want it God's way. I hold funerals all the time. I go out to the graveside. I stand there in these cemeteries and I look around me, and everywhere you look, hundreds and hundreds of gravestones. And you know what I learned? Without God, we all are a bowl of bones, a mess of mud, and a dish of dust. That's what we all are without God. We're nothing without God. We're nothing without God. God's the one who gives purpose to life. He's the one who gives meaning to life. We're nothing without God. We need to realize that. All of our glory is to be found in God. Seek first the kingdom of God. One last thing. It has to do with maturity. When we're first saved, the Bible describes us as babies. And you well know, praise God for babies. So I love babies. Nothing wrong in being a baby, just so we don't remain a baby. Because about the only thing a baby knows how to do when a baby doesn't get his way, he, yeah! But only thing he knows how to do. And I've heard a lot of them do it in church business meetings, too. Pitiful. Pitiful. People who should have been spiritually mature act like babies because they don't get their way. We're to keep on growing in our Christian life. I mean, until the day we die and see Christ, we're to keep on growing. Growing in our love for people, growing in our love for the Lord, growing in our hatred of sin, growing in our obedience, growing in our witnessing to a lost world. I still, there's nothing that gives me a greater thrill than to present Jesus to a lost person and see that person come to Christ. Growing in stewardship. I enjoy tithing. It's not legalism. It's a love affair, giving back to God, because He gives us everything. We don't have a breath of air without Him. Growing in faithfulness to the one who's been so faithful to us. Some years ago, William Reynolds wrote a song. I pray that it's the words and the thoughts of all of us today. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Let's all sing it together, a cappella. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. May I say, as we close this service, my part of it today, if any of you here today, God's at work in your life, either for salvation or for rededication of your life or for call to full-time Christian service, or you need God's special wisdom in decisions you've got to make, or you're looking for a church home, Brother Scott would just be happy to talk with you at the end of this service today. There's nothing I enjoy any more than in counseling people that God's working with, and I'm sure he feels that same way. Before I turn it over to your pastor, I want us all to stand right now, if you would, please, and join hands across every aisle. Every aisle. We do this all the time in our church, and we get such a blessing out of it. Great. You can't even move on across? Good. And we sing together a cappella, the Lord's Prayer. And we get such a blessing from it. Let's sing it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you, friends. You may be seated. Brother Pastor, it's been a blessing to be here today,
Thank you, Brother Ron. Thank you.